Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Broverwatch podcast. My name is Adam Cook, and as always, I'm joined by Calder Amos Wood. And today we are also joined by Luke, one of our website writers and one of our contenders experts. And he recently put an article up on our website about the week recap. So he's here to kind of talk about that and a bunch of other news stories that have come up this week. How are you guys doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right.
I'm great.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you guys are good because I did kind of delay the podcast a lot because I was slow in the setup. But, you know, we've started. I did ruin the entire podcast. Show over.
There we go.
Damn. That's a wrap.
It's all done. Yeah. So we've got a lot of news stories today. Not a crazy amount. But some important ones.
We've got a lot, but we don't have a lot, but they're important.
On a scale of 1 to 10, we've got like 7.
On a scale of 1 to 10, we've got 3.
Stories or amount?
Like, we don't have 7 stories. We just have like, this is too confusing and makes no sense. Let's just get on to our first story, how about? Clearly getting worse at the intros every week.
It's all good.
The first story that we're going to talk about is Hangzhou Spark. I went on a long rant last week about how their blue color was horrible, looked like Gatorade.
Not their blue color.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, no, right. That was Guangzhou.
It was
Hangzhou, right?
Yeah, it was.
They were also rumored to be blue. And then they kind of came out of left field and went, no, we're going to go full pink. And they immediately probably like quintupled their fan base.
Heck yeah, dude.
Literally just choosing pink went from 0 fans to one of the most fans.
And they have the blue decals too, which are nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the blue pink mix is really, really good. I like how they rolled out their roster reveals. They just did 2 players every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I believe they're still doing that. They're still releasing 2 every day. Or
we
are they done?
We got 2 more.
2 more?
2 left, I mean. We got 2 left.
Okay.
Yeah.
If so, we have to believe the rumored roster, that is.
Yeah.
Did they announce Crystal? Is he supposed to be on this team or another team?
Not yet. But he is supposed to be, yes.
Okay. Anyway, this team looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks really good. Branding-wise, like, still, like, if you've seen the concepts of, like, their original name, Railgun, and, like, their original logo, it looks cooler. But, like, I guess this is, they want it to be more simplified, too, so that it's more accessible, which I understand.
Was it Blizzard that blocked the original logo?
I think so. I think it was,
with the girl on it?
Yeah.
Maybe,
because it was like a girl holding up the fingers,
right?
But I think it was like too similar to an anime that's famous or something like that. And then like the name Railgun, I mean, it has gun in the name, and I bet they just kind of want to stay away from that.
I guess so.
So honestly, just making this pink makes the logo look better than it did before. It's so weird how that works. They literally just made it a different color, and now it's so much cooler. But the branding, the players, the way they're going about revealing the players, all of their tweets have, like special character. Like, when you use, like, brackets and, like, slashes to make characters, it's all, like, super, I don't know.
It's just neat.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Well thought out.
They already know their branding and they're really sticking to it, and it's really good.
Yeah, true.
So, I don't know a lot about each of these players.
Well, we know Gushui.
Yeah.
Godsby a little bit.
No, this team is like off the charts. Like, talent wise. You have their main tanks who we all know Gushui, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But their other main tank, No Smite, is like, he's no slouch. He is. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. This team looks amazing, and it seems like it's the first like, no doubt really good expansion team.
Yeah.
That we've seen. Because they're still...
Officially announced.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know I already said this a couple times, but, like, I feel like a lot of the, like the growth of these expansion teams revealing themselves and, like, being like, this is our branding, this is our name, these are our players, have been, like, kind of all over the place. Like, every team is doing it, like, at a different pace, which is fine, but, like, doing it differently. Some are like, here's one player that's on our team. Like, I think DC, right, only has one player announced.
Yeah, and their coach.
Yeah. So it's like, they all seem super disorganized. This is like, they're already, like if
it just seems like they planned it.
Yeah, if someone just, like, came up and was, like, looking at the teams, they'd probably believe that this is already, like, a part of the Overwatch League, like, roster of teams, not just joining now. It's just, they know what they're doing, and it's so nice to see.
I think that the all the leaks we had in the community didn't help the fact, didn't help the marketing of all the teams as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, but the thing is with Hangzhou that the teams, because they did it so neat and so perfectly at the steady, predictable pace, it just feels very, it just feels nice.
Yeah.
The way they reveal it. And I guess the color change, because the blue color got leaked, right? And they changed it to pink.
Yeah.
Which is, like, just a nice thing for everyone.
Yeah. Although, if the rumors are true and Runaway is, like, fully a part of the league and, like, they're a part of a different team and there's a pink and blue team and it's not Runaway, that'll be a bit weird. But, like, oh, well. Yeah. But yeah, it's just really nice to see, like, a really well-established brand. And honestly, as far as leaks go, as much as leaks are fun and it's fun to, like, hear, ooh, apparently this might be happening, part of me wishes that, like, there were no leaks and, like, we actually got these reveals as, like, surprises. Like, I don't know. But I think if other teams go the way that Hangzhou did, then I don't think the leaks will lessen their reveals too much.
No, probably not.
I think leaks in general are fine, but the amount of leaks we had, like, we literally knew every player on every roster, every name, every logo, all got leaked, except for Vancouver. I don't know what they are doing, but
I have no idea. Yeah.
But,
yeah,
like, a few is fine, right? But if you leak so many, it's just kind of, you know, whatever. Anymore, just like,
and it's like months in advance too,
right?
Like, they're leaking, it's like, oh, the week before,
yeah, like even today actually, because I also somewhat follow the League of Legends esports stuff, and literally within the span of about an hour, maybe 2 hours today, like, the top two finishing teams in North America, there was a leak that they might be, like, there's Team Liquid and C9. There was a rumor that Team Liquid was going to sign one of C9's players, and then it was confirmed that they did that, and then there was a confirmation that he was released, then a confirmation that he was signed, and then like two other player signings to the same teams, all within the span of like 2 hours. And it was like a surprise to everybody, and it was like this big thing. It's like, it was really cool to watch that. It's not as fun to be like, oh, yeah, we knew this 3 months ago because some guy tweeted it nonchalantly. And it's like, whatever.
Yeah, because Michael got access to the spreadsheet.
Yeah, Michael looked
apparently,
at the spreadsheet.
That's what we all think. He himself says he doesn't.
Yeah, but then he also claims that if a leak happens and this, whoever it's leaked says it didn't happen, they're lying. So if you apply that to him,
it's just so weird that in a multi-million-dollar league and multi-million-dollar company as Blizzard, that a guy like him gets all this information. Like,
yeah,
it's so weird to me, but I guess
this is such a strange off season just in general.
Yeah,
true. And it's like only the first.
Yeah,
yeah, I know.
I'm hoping that like future off seasons are like they evolve to be a little more secretive, but
they're gonna be shorter too.
Yeah,
which will be nice.
True.
So honestly, just that will change a lot because it won't be like you can expect this announcement in 5 months. It'll be like, yeah, that'll be nice.
Anyway,
Hangzhou looking like a good brand.
Yeah. Oh, also their skins look great.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen them. Wait.
If you scroll down on their Twitter page, they show a Reaper and a Winston skin.
Oh, they're so see. That's another.
Totally forgot.
That's another sign that their branding's so good. They chose Reaper as like the one of the skins to show, so that there's a pink Reaper. Because like,
I mean, yeah, they literally thought of that as well because they are gonna know that their most popular player is probably Guxue from the start, so they just pick a Winston skin, right?
Yeah.
And then just Reaper for the contrast. Like, it's just so well thought out.
One other thing I was thinking about was there was a thread about jersey sales.
Damn.
And who will be like number one in jersey sales. So who do you guys think will be number one? A lot of people were saying Guxue just because of China's fan base.
Oh, on this team?
On this
no,
team?
Like in the league.
Oh, but in the league.
People were saying Guxue.
Honestly, Guxue maybe. Two? Oh, Defrant also, yeah. If he lasts.
For season two.
All right.
If he lasts. Yeah, probably Defrant or Guxue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say so. I wouldn't buy a Guxue jersey myself, but I think a lot of people will.
Yeah.
I want to see what they look like, the jerseys.
I mean, we have seen the leak from Sue, right? Like, leak-ish quotation marks.
Yeah.
You guys seen the pictures he put out?
From who?
From Zoe Sue.
Oh, so.
There's a picture on her Instagram where she's wearing a alleged Hangzhou jersey.
Ooh.
Let me.
Is it still up there?
It is. Let me see. I think it's also on her Twitter as well.
That's interesting.
Now we're just trying to find this picture.
But
oh yeah, there it is. It's like her first picture in on her profile.
Exactly.
Right. It looks like it's the design of the season one jerseys.
Yeah, but shouldn't the what's it called?
The shoulder
the sleeves pad? Not be another color though.
I think they have one sleeve. Is a different color, right?
Yeah, the opposite of
yeah, but it should be a different color.
But only one, right?
If you look at this, Adam, do you have the picture up on your thing?
I don't have the picture up, but I have
starter jersey that I bought for $30 on sale.
Oh damn!
Wait, is it not on her Twitter? Oh no, it is. I see it.
It is. It's the first one.
Also. All Overwatch League merch is 75% off right now.
Yeah,
if
so
you want to buy a starter jersey, go buy it.
Okay, it's up on screen now. That's a good looking jersey.
I know.
Oh man,
it is. It fits so perfectly in my collection. Like I already have a runaway sweater, so another pink one would just fit me perfectly.
Yeah, I'm definitely even if I. For some reason hate the team and they do horrible and like not all the players turn out to be horrible people. I know this isn't true, but like even if all that happens, I might just get a jersey
every
anyway because it
on
looks
the team
really good.
Murders someone.
Yes.
You're just getting it.
I'm gonna get it anyway because it looks so good. Yeah.
Anyway, we should move on.
Just a quick note on the jersey thing. Do you think that like every team's gonna have different jersey styles?
They'll probably have a uniform jersey style.
No, but I mean, like, I don't mean like each team has a different one. I mean like each team is different from season one.
It seems like that since they're having these huge sales. Yeah, it is Black Friday, but a 75% sale is pretty big.
Do the jerseys have like an inaugural season patch on them or anything? Because if they do, then that'll be why they're... Because if they do, that'll be why they're on sale. Yeah, then that's because since it says inaugural season, then
so they'll change that, and they might be changing the different colored sleeve.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I predict that they're gonna do it like the World Cup. in the World Cup, you had about four, five custom, like, different designs for the jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Chinese had, like, mainly white with a bit of gold on the sleeves, and then the America with the thing over their chest, and all different teams, the kind of different designs, right? But it was still only four or five, like, total.
Oh, so, like, more stylized jerseys, but, yeah. like, they're still uniform and, like... where the name is, where the number is, like where your logo is. Yeah.
I think they might do that. I hope they do that because it gives
probably,
a bit more personal.
They'll probably just do what like every other league does and have symbol on front, name on back, number on back. And mm-hmm. then you're pretty free to do whatever you want, but they still have to approve it.
Yeah.
I hope they do that.
I hope they make it each one more stylized because like, and still uniform, but like, I was looking at buying some jerseys today because it's $15 for a jersey. Like, that's so good.
Yeah.
But like, like, they all look the same though. Like, it's so it's like, it would be so much cooler if like each one like had its own style. That'd be cool. So
anyway. Just to add on that, just one more thing. Like, whenever I looked for jerseys to buy, I just couldn't do it because in the end I felt like I was more buying a jersey from the Overwatch League than actually buying a jersey from a team mm-hmm. in the league itself, you know?
yeah
it's just like
that's the other
thing.
It needs
to be more personalized, like you're actually supporting your team instead of like the league.
Yeah that's like I know League of Legends has like each team has a separate store. It's not a League of Legends store. Like, C9 has a store, TSM has a store, and that feels more like supporting the team and the player.
Right.
Like, I've been looking at getting a Team Canada XQC jersey, but, like, I feel like it's not supporting him at all other than having the jersey, but, like, I feel like none of the money's gonna see him. It's just gonna go all to...
Won't.
It's gonna all go to Blizzard, so I don't know, it's weird.
The one thing that I did notice is that teams are having more... Like, the Defiant has their own online merch store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
which
good.
Which is pretty cool.
NYXL as well.
Yeah.
And Philly, I think.
If they go more that direction.
I hope that.
I hope they then get to sell their official jerseys for next season on their own websites, though. And
that'd
not
be nice.
Blizzard, it like, through Blizzard ways.
It kind of seems like that's the way it's going. Since, like, they're putting these all on, like, extreme sale and all these teams are opening their own stores, it would make sense.
It's weird that you can't buy player jerseys from Blizzard, though.
Yeah, you have to go to Into the AM.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Completely separate
like
website.
The custom ones?
Yeah.
There's just a lot of strange things going on.
It is weird. Because even there, I'm like, I feel like I'm not even supporting Blizzard. I'm supporting this other website. So it's like, it's weird.
Anyway, we should move on.
We should move on. We talked a long time about jerseys. Didn't expect that. But it's good.
Contenders EU Week 1 Recap.
Who wrote this article?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
If you want to check it out, it's on the website at the Bro... Or not at the Bro Awards. It's on the website. Our
www.com/
Oh, say it at the same time as me. That's a good idea.
Also, I said www.com/ That's not how...
I don't know where you're going with that.
www.thebroverwatch.com That's the website. Go check
slash
it out.
/home/contenders EU Week 1 Recap.
That's way too complicated. It'll be the first thing that pops up when you type that in, though.
Just go to thebroverwatch.com. It'll be the latest article.
Wow, cool hat.
I got scared.
So, I guess we'll just go through this. Adam and I didn't watch a lot, so Luke will give his expert analysis. But
and then once in a while I'll go, oh, I heard that.
I didn't realize that you could just not have a game happen. I didn't think that could be a thing.
Same like, here.
Windstrike team versus Young Beautiful just didn't happen, so Windstrike won.
Yes, exactly. Like, I think it was Tonic, the main tank for Young and Beautiful, who had internet problems, and apparently in the rules it says that every 10 minutes that your players don't show up from the starting time. So it should have started at 6. They should have been in the lobby, so 6 local time. And every 10 minutes that the team is not complete, one map will go to the opponent. So
oh, wow.
Oh, so they had to wait 40 minutes?
Yes.
Wow.
They've been trying for 40 minutes, I guess, or Tonic, the player, has been trying to fix his internet, but they had no reserves, so, like, no one could step in.
They just didn't have any on their team, or they weren't on some list?
You have to fill like your 8-man roster, right, to Blizzard or to the contenders. So you have 8 people that you can fill in, sub out for each week, and Young and Beautiful only had 6. So yeah, unlucky.
Strange.
That's weird. I guess they had to have some sort of rule in place there, since they're doing it over LAN, or not doing it over LAN, sorry.
Yeah.
So. That is weird.
I think the rule itself is fine. It's kind of on Young and Beautiful to, you know, fix their roster. I mean, sure, internet problems can happen, but as a team, you should anticipate something like that. And always have something ready, because this is just... I don't think I've seen it happen before.
Also, is that the first game of Contenders?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a weird start, too.
Yeah, it's like, unlucky, welcome back. Because a lot of people wanted to see Winstrike as well.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say you can't blame them for the internet problems, but they should have a bigger roster than 6.
Yeah.
The player itself, no, but I would say the team management. I mean, it's just a bit like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say about it.
It's just disheartening.
It's just a management issue. Yeah.
Contenders to do well.
And since it's the first game of Contenders being bad.
So the next game was Bazooka Puppies versus HSL Esports.
Right.
HSL won pretty easily here.
And
you had some analysis on their Zarya. It was HSL Zarya, right? Yeah. ZYKK.
Yes, I think it's just pronounced Zeek. I mean, I wouldn't know. That's what the caster said. At least.
Okay. Well, they get it all wrong. Brigetti.
He was insane. It's like, I remember the Dorado game in the end, and HSL, I mean, his team was on defense, right? And they hold close for the first fight, and the fight was like 30 seconds, and Track, who was on the other team, had a graph on 40%, and he won the fight. Like, Track's team won the fight, but his graph was only at 40. Then the other team, HSL, regrouped, and I look at Sieg's ult chart. The guy was already at 90% of his graph. I'm like, how does he do that? Because they even lost the fight. Like, that is insane. And that just kept on happening throughout the whole series. He had, whenever Shrek has one graph, Zeke had 2. It was nuts.
Wow.
Is Zeke, like, new to Contenders? Like, did he just join this season?
I haven't seen him before, but he might have. I might have overlooked him.
Might have just been like a more quiet player.
To me, he is pretty new. But yeah, convincing win by HSL, and unlucky for Bazooka Puppies, because I expected more of them, but I guess their synergy wasn't there yet.
And then this is the only game that I like heard about. I guess the game I heard about the most as someone who doesn't watch every Contenders match. This is the game that I heard about the most, is Team Gigante versus Samsung Morning Stars. Because, like,
exactly. I could understand that.
Yeah.
No, these are two top contenders in EU. Like, Samsung Morning Stars, like, the organization came to EU. Like half a year ago, and they were an open division with 2 teams before. They had Morningstars Red and Morningstars Blue, I think they were called, but they didn't really do well. So they cut one team, focused all on the other, and got some new players. And they announced them like a few months ago, and they were like a wild card, right? But the Angry Cup happened before Contenders, and they did surprisingly well. I mean, their roster was good from the start, like, individually, but we wouldn't know how they would look together, you know, as one team. But they did surprisingly well in the Angry Cup, and they eventually end up winning that tournament. So now they are like sky high favorites for the contenders, together with Giganti and some other teams that played on the second day.
Okay.
So that was a great, great game in the end as well.
Yeah, I was. I know I was looking at Giganti mainly because Zappas is on there, and I was like, he's someone I was hoping would get picked up for OWL. Although, at like, for some reason, I didn't think, oh, I don't know anything about Korean contenders, and there's like way, way, way better players over there. So
I mean, I wouldn't say that. It's just a long issue that Overwatch had with Korean players that are just better because they're from Korea.
Yeah.
Well, you've seen in teams that actually did scouting in all the regions, teams like Boston, teams like Philly, actually did scouting in EU as well. And there's a lot of talent in EU. You don't, it's not like a thing that you need necessarily, like Shock kind of is doing, unfortunately, that you need a full Korean roster to compete, because there's a lot of good players still out there.
Yeah. Like, which is Zappos. Yeah. Which is why, like, I think Atlanta and what's the other new team that's, oh, Paris. Why Atlanta and Paris, I think, are going to have big fan bases, because they're not going full Korean when a lot of the other new teams are.
Toronto.
Vancouver.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Although, if the rumors that Vancouver's getting runaway, I think that's the one that way is, that, like...
Yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah,
acceptable.
That's acceptable. It's they're the only... Yeah. But yeah, it was nice to see Zappas go to a team that's like
it's a at familiar the high team end for of... him.
Yeah.
He came from Giganti together with Linkser and Fraggy and Jazz and Bikus and all those players, all from Giganti. So it's like a familiar environment for him. So I think he'll do well this season. But the game was close. They unfortunately lost, but it could have gone either way. It was a great game to watch. I highly recommend rewatching it to anyone who likes good Overwatch.
Which hopefully is most people listening to this.
So then day two starts with British Hurricane versus We Have Org, or Who. I don't think it's very surprising that British Hurricane won, because they are...
No.
They're like an academy team.
Yeah.
But We Have Org put up a pretty good fight.
They did.
So.
Yeah, British Hurricane. I mean, they both came off trials. Like, even British Hurricane, they got relegated last season. So we don't know how will they do, but they looked very good in trials, and actually so good that people were already calling them the favorites again for season three. But We Have Org kind of had a revamped roster with a lot of young talent on there, a lot of new talent. And it was a pretty close game, and British Hurricane wasn't as convincing as they should be, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I think when they get the synergy right, then they'll do great this season. But We Have Org probably also gonna hit playoffs if they keep playing like this.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then after that, Angry Titans and Orgless and Hungry played. I'd heard of Orgless and Hungry before.
Yeah.
And then Angry Titans a little more recently.
Yeah.
So it's kind of surprising that it was a 3-0. I figured it'd be a little closer. What do you think?
Well, Angry Titans were the finalists, right? Last season, they look good. They're very good at 10 comps. No one really has left their team, so the synergy is still there. They got to the finals of the Angry Cup as well. Got rolled by Morning Stars, but, you know, whatever. These two teams seem like the strongest in their respective group. At least that's what Luddy said in an interview after the game. He said that Orgos and Hungary looked as the strongest opponent. But yeah, Angry Titans won pretty convincingly. And even during game, you know, the maps weren't that close. Some were a bit closer than others. But yeah, pretty clean victory in the end for Angry Titans.
And then the last game, 1 point versus Shoes Money Crew. EU, which from what we've written here, because I didn't watch this one, was basically just Eagle Gaming playing GOATs, which is what they're good at.
Yeah, like so. That's all it is. Like, if you're a fan of GOATs, which I don't think a lot of people are, you want to watch this game. But it's just the guys from Eagle, Hardest, Get Amazed, as Blue, you know, they're the tank trio. As we say now in GOATs, they're the tank 3-0. And they just get support and they just run everyone over because they're just good at tanks. But every other comp we have seen from in that game, which wasn't a lot, but they didn't really do good. It's just kind of like, you know, Eagle was sometimes called a GOATs one trick team. But I don't hope 1 point will be like the second, like Eagle 2.0 with GOATs 1 tricking, but it showed that it was shown though in this match, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah. Shoes Money Crow doesn't have the talent right now to go up against it. But maybe better teams will figure them out, like Windstrike or Gigante.
Yeah. It's weird because I know when like GOATs kind of started to enter the meta, it was really exciting to see like something big, because we hadn't had like a really big meta since Dive.
Yeah.
But now it's like, okay, time for the next one, because it's been nothing but GOATs for like months now. So
since
I feel like
the off season, basically.
Yeah.
Started.
So I think people are kind of done with GOATs, but it doesn't look like it's gonna be going away very soon.
We'll talk about that in a little bit, but
yeah,
we're gonna have to see. I mean, people were happy to see it because Ryan is back into them,
yeah, right?
And they hadn't been meta for over a year,
yeah,
but then people realized that when you just run tank comps and can never play DPS again, it kind of gets boring,
yeah, like
a while.
When which we're about to talk about it in a sec, but when there were Brig changes and it was like, oh yeah, she can't stun through shield anymore, I saw a comment on Reddit that was like, do we really have to make Reinhardt even more like the tank to go to? Like, he's always the only one ever picked. And I'm like, as much as that's like a true thing right now, I was kind of like, yeah, but like all of season one of Overwatch League, that whole span, Reinhardt was kind of useless a lot of the time. Like, it was only choose Winston always.
Very situational.
Yeah.
And that's not even only Overwatch League. It went back to season two of Apex.
Yeah.
When Lunatic High won their first championship with Dive. Mm-hmm. When Rogue started to become triple DPS Dive only, you know? It's been over a year.
Yeah. So I don't think the GOATs meta is as bad as Dive was, as far as how long it's lasting and how, like,
there's
ways to fight GOATs
too.
Yeah.
It's not like Dive versus Counter Dive. It's GOATs versus maybe GOATs, maybe Counter GOATs, so like a Sombra Doomfist. Like, we're not only seeing Winston, Tracer, D.Va, whatever, Genji, all those. It's Sombra, Doomfist, Rein, maybe some other Bizaria, maybe some other DPS too.
Yeah.
I've seen Mei a couple times. It's a little less boring.
A couple times.
It's a little less boring than just GOATs versus GOATs, like Dive was Dive versus Dive.
Yeah. That being said, I hope that GOATs kind of takes a back seat soon.
Yeah.
Because it's fun to watch sometimes.
Would you say that the state of Overwatch is at risk? This is my segue. Just agree with me.
I'd say that the state of Overwatch is in an interesting place.
Why would you say that?
Well, here's the thing. Seagull posts his video and he goes, "Hey guys, my name is Seagull." That's my Seagull
That's
impression.
That's the worst Seagull impression I've heard in my life.
How many have you heard?
That's the first one, but it's bad.
Like one.
Yeah. It's also the best, though. And he said, basically, the game is won at the hero pick screen at the high levels because there's hard counters, and the highs of the game are very high and the lows are very low.
Yeah, like when it feels good, it feels good.
Yeah, but then when it feels bad, you're like, I never want to play this again.
Yeah.
The thing is that I kind of have an issue with this because he relates this to GOATs, right? Mm-hmm. Or the state of Overwatch now.
Yeah.
But this has been an issue since forever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
There has been videos and Reddit posts, I think, like about a year ago, during like last season of Apex, beginning of Overwatch League announcements, I think even Stylosa made a video about, is Overwatch League actually enjoyable? And that's like over a year ago by like Stylosa, you know?
Yeah.
If you like, search state of Overwatch in r/cow, then like there's really old examples that come up with that exact title, state of Overwatch.
Exactly.
I think it's just at this point, it's like we've just like fought through it till this point, I guess you could say.
Well, because it hasn't, like, we haven't had this bubble up for like 8 months.
Yeah.
Something
and like
that.
People have kind of been saying things here and there, being like, oh yeah. People have always been saying, oh yeah, ranked is frustrating. But then, like, as soon as Seagull posted the video, everyone's like, yeah, it's a problem right now. We have a problem right now. And it's like, okay. All of a sudden, everyone's an expert.
Yeah, you can really see how much influence he has, especially in the, like, competitive community, you know?
Yeah. And, like, the thing is, I've seen people be like, you know there is an issue when Seagull makes a 25-minute video on the state of Overwatch, which
that
has some
true.
Truth to it.
So a lot of people are tracing this back to CC, so Brigitte, Doomfist, Sombra, to an extent, characters like that, where you just don't have control of your character and it's frustrating.
Sleeps, so, shatters, stuns,
So over the last week, I say since the last podcast, there have been a lot of PTR updates and like, forum posts about the PTR.
Yeah.
Which is very strange. So I guess it's Seagull's fault that this is happening. Like,
my guess is they kind of had these like brewing up in the cold, like the PTR cauldron for a while.
Yeah.
I'm like a coincidence. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did like change it even more because of Seagull's video or something.
Blizzard in general has a very slow, like, philosophy if it comes to updating their games. You know, it's been a problem in multiple games as well. And, like, for WoW, like, if you look at World of Warcraft PvP and people were talking like, oh, Rogue is overpowered or you know, or Warrior or whatever, or Feral Druid, it takes them months to come up with some simple changes that people have been asking for. You know, Blizzard is very slow on updating their games and pushing stuff to the PTR, and no different with Overwatch. But I feel like, as you said, that these changes were already set to hit PTR at a certain time, but because there was so much like noise from the community that they just pushed them through on one patch just to get rid of the complaints, so to say.
Yeah.
I think the community definitely helped on pushing these changes very quickly.
I'm betting that like they're gonna change, like they're gonna tweak these changes for sure before they go live, like make them a little less drastic because they're pretty drastic changes.
Yeah,
true.
Well, the most drastic one out of the most recent PTR updates is reducing shield bash damage from 50 to 5.
That's quite a drop. Like, holy.
Like, maybe if you want to eliminate the one shot combo she has, then maybe change it to 25. but it still has to do something. Like, five damage is literally nothing.
It's literally a...
it's less than a... what's it called?
McCree Flashbang.
Exactly.
Yeah.
McCree Flashbang is 25 or 20. Well, this is 5. Yeah. You know?
That's the difference between those two is she's hitting you with a shield. McCree's just throwing a bomb. Like, concussion grenades don't kill you.
No.
But getting smashed in the face with a shield will. And I know people are like, oh, you don't have to talk about real life when you're talking about Overwatch.
There's a talking monkey.
What they do. But at a point, you've got to use your logic and be like, okay, this makes sense that it does at least 25 damage. And then this one is just like a concussion grenade.
All right.
She's also, they also changed her Inspire passive, which is her radius cooling or healing,
which
and buffed
is,
it a little bit.
Yeah. Which is arguably the bigger change, in my opinion.
They're pretty much making her a healer.
Yeah.
Which
they're
makes
making
sense,
it
though.
So that you can run her as a secondary heal or as a main support, which will, according to pros who have given their opinion on it, only support goats even more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know. I hope not. But we'll see.
I do kind of like that she can heal a little more because then you're not only picking her to like stun and all that. So I wish it was a little more focused on healing rather than like CC tank abilities.
Yeah.
But this seems like it could be drastic. I haven't played on the PTR with these changes and that's really not a great indicator either. But it could be a little drastic what they're doing.
Yeah.
I'm actually all for putting it in the game and just seeing how it goes, you know?
Like, yeah.
The best way to test is to test in live or test in official pro environment.
Yeah.
So, just don't put it in, like, put it in the game, but don't put it in competitive yet? Or, like, just straight up put it in competitive?
I would just straight up do it. Like, people wanted nerfs. Here are your nerfs, and let's see how it goes. And after a week or two, it seems like it's not happening. Then you can just always revert them, you know, or change them up. Like, I think Fortnite does it a lot in their game when something they put something new in and it gets like a lot of hate or it doesn't work or it's buggy. They just take it out and they work on it and then they put it back in when it's good.
And then if it works, then they leave it in. Like, yeah.
I mean, sometimes you gotta kind of give the power to your community in that way, you know? So,
I think the PTR is a really good thing, but I would be up for like shorter PTR times where it's like it's in PTR for like a few days or maybe even just a week and then it goes straight to live instead of like how long. I mean, I think it's different every time, but usually it's like 2 weeks.
Yeah. It takes a while. And it's not like people play on the PTR.
Some like, people do, actually... but like no one plays for more than maybe like an hour at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's... I mean, pros do scrims on new PTR.
Yeah.
But that's not an indicator for a whole community, like the top of Overwatch, who are just going to run what they're good at. You know, it's not an indicator for what ranked is going to be like or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's also the change, the nerf to Brigitte about her not stunning through shields.
But it's really weird.
It's very strange.
It's not just she doesn't stun through shield. It's like she doesn't stun through shield. If she's close, she gets stopped. But if she's far away, she'll go through the shield, but still not stun. And it's like just really weird, like specific scenarios.
Just make it so that she stops at the shield.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's just bugged? It's just a bug?
That's my guess.
I think it is. Because it's so strange that it just cannot be... It cannot be like
it's not logical at all.
Yeah,
like
there's
that.
No way they all sat down around a table and it's like if you go at an angle then you go it's so
yeah,
like
it's
so
not,
dumb.
Not it.
Yeah.
I think what the developer said that the thing they want to do with a shield blocks her stun, it is very hard to put into your game because something like a Rein shield, like a Maywall, like you're adding something to the geometry of the map, especially for the brick shield bash, because they it kind of blocks the shield now blocks it, right? So the shield becomes like part of a geometry that stops her her bash, and it's very hard to put that in right, like in the game itself, so that it doesn't bug out. So I mean, I gave them a pass for now, but I hope when it hits life that they fix it. But it might take some time for it's actually for that it actually is fixed and as it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then there's also some Doomfist changes, like uppercut. I think you have air control quicker than you did before.
Yeah, they changed that twice.
Yeah. So I'm not 100% sure what it's at right now.
I think the last change was that you don't even lose air control.
Yeah.
I think it went from like 3 to 0.6, and then it went from 0.6 to maybe 0.
I think it went to 0. Like, you don't lose any air control now.
Yeah, I'm looking if I can find it.
Which is strange, like...
No.
And I think 0.6 might be reasonable.
Yeah.
The like, thing is, no air control. You have to do a little something when you
here's the, but here's the thing, too. Like, if you listen to what you just said no... You said no air control, get rid of air. No control is, like, the main thing I think they're trying to avoid. You don't want to ever die and be like, I had no control over that. You want to die and be like, shoot, I should have done this better. Right?
It is kind of illogical if you think about his ability as well. He does the upper... like, why would you lose control in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's... It's kind of weird to have that with this ability.
Yeah.
So completely removing it adds a lot of counterplay to Doomfist. Well, if you're a good Doomfist and you work together with your team to get like a Zarya bubble and stuff, you can still eliminate your target.
Yeah.
And then
so I think it's good.
Seismic Slam also, there's no loss of air control there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Meteor Strike, the big inner nerf. Ring radius increased to 2 meters from 1.5.
Yeah.
That's where he does 300 damage. Max damage outside of inner ring decreased from 300 to 200, so it'll still kill most squishies.
Like, there, I mean, saw a video in...
fall off, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw a video in the practice range where in the section where it's the two bots shooting at the friendly bots. So they're like this far away. If Doomfist is like in the middle, if that's if my hands are the size of the bots, like they're this far away, he lands right in the middle of them, and it doesn't kill either of the bots.
Oh, okay. So you have to get really hit.
You actually have to be very precise with it now to kill. Yeah, which I guess is good, but
yeah, if you know you used to when you were Anna and you were one direct, Doomfist puts his ult on you and you just keep running, you die anyway because the radius is so big. Now if he puts your ult on you and you're already running and you just keep running in one direction, you will survive it.
Okay, so that's nice as a
it's a big nerf, but
it was it's stupid that still that good. Was even a thing.
It's huge for Ana and Zen because there's so much like most heroes that would die from that immediately have some way to maybe get out of it, but Ana Zen you just like slowly like float away and then he
and
just
it's not
lands
like
there.
You can you can't like sleep him or anything.
No.
So
well, that would be pretty easy because you just stand in the middle, look up, and sleep. It'd be a little ridiculous.
I mean.
Some people are really bad with sleep darts. Anyway, we should
another one of the points that Siegel brought up were lack of stats,
which they did. He mentioned the friggin' like CC, and they tried to fix it ASAP. He mentioned stats; they made it worse.
Yeah. So there's a war on stats happening, where they're like, they removed the 10. Or healing per 10 minute stat from the overview screen.
Yeah.
So you have to go into your statistics page, which is fine. Well, it's not fine, but it's stupid. But it's not like taking it out of
the
game.
They didn't make it disappear. It's just in a different spot now. Yeah.
Which is stupid. Like, if you're a healer.
You want to know you're healing for 10 minutes. That's the best stat to look at to know if you've been healing well.
And then they also removed win rate, which we... First of all, they didn't even calculate that. They just took out games played. So you can't figure out your win rate by like dividing games won by games played.
Calculating, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just stupid.
It's like, cool, like, I've won that many games, but like that could be like 1/10 of the games I've played and I'm actually bad.
Yeah.
But you would never know.
It's
well, we know you're bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just don't get why we've been asking for stats and they go, okay, let's remove them.
It's their philosophy. It's their game philosophy, right?
Yeah.
It all goes back to the developers saying that it's not important or it doesn't belong in this game and it goes against flaming and all. They believe that. I think they just actually believe that that is true.
Yeah, like the top comment on this is happy smiley face stats smiley face only smiley face, and it's like that. I feel like that's literally what it is, where it's like we don't want anybody to flame anybody.
And it's kind of summed up in this quote from Jeff explaining why there's no scoreboard, which is it really wasn't telling the story of who was doing their job properly, where it's like. But still tell us.
Listen.
Just tell us, please.
It just hurts me because we do have medals. It's like.
Yeah, the medal. Instead of. You're not doing your job. Well, actually, I'm like second on the scoreboard right now. Instead, it's. You're not doing your job. Well, actually, I have gold damage, so. And it's like.
Gold damage on Roadhog in the by the way.
I have bronze healing on Roadhog. You're not doing your job. It's like, I don't know.
No, but it's literally that, right? The medals are so misleading in a lot of ways.
And it's like,
you never know the full picture, but...
They're just not committing to one mindset. Yeah. They're saying, we don't want you to have stats to know who's doing better than other people, but also we want you to feel good about how you're doing, so we're going to let you know how you're doing compared to other people. It's like...
It's like my final stand on it is, to be honest, give us just as many stats as you can give us, because the players that want to improve and the players that don't look for flaming look to the stats to improving themselves and look to the stats to see what happened in the game. And if you don't, like, flaming will happen anyway, with or without stats. People will always blame someone else. That's like the normal thing to do, especially in ranked. Like, at least give us something to hold on to where we can improve as a player and where we can know that if people are flaming us, that we can know that we don't have to doubt ourselves that we actually did bad or maybe did bad, so we can then improve in the next game, you know?
Yeah.
I don't see any issue with a lot of stats. That's why I don't get their philosophy, I guess.
I don't necessarily think that a scoreboard is the right answer, because just makes it so easy to be like, this person is the worst. There's always going to be a worst player on the team. It doesn't mean they're doing bad. It just means they're doing the worst on their team. But like, so I don't think the scoreboard is the right answer, but just like have a stats page so I can look at how I specifically did last game.
Yeah, right. Like match history as well. Or
yeah.
Something
I'd like to be able to
something, you know.
I just want to look through my match history and be like, okay, this is how I did on this one. Look at the damage or healing or whatever role I was playing, and be like, okay.
Look at who I played on what map, who I switched to at what time and what point, so that I know what works and what doesn't with what comps. Like that would be so much more beneficial than in the last game you got gold objective kills. Like, I really don't care if I got gold objective kills. I just want to improve.
And the thing is that they don't realize is most people aren't going to look at them anyway, even if they are, like, trying to flame someone out. They're not going to be like, oh, let's look at his match history and see what he's doing.
Yeah.
They're just going to be like, you're stupid, and then leave the game.
And, like, even, here's the thing. I'm against, like, private player profiles because, like, you should be able to build a team comp with your team based on who plays what heroes the most and stuff like that. But like, I'd honestly be up for something like Match History where you can look at all your personal stats, but have the option to have that hidden, but have like player, like these are this person's best heroes, and like, I don't know, just be like, show what the player's best at, and then you don't have to show every single person that this person played Zenyatta on Dorado second point and did well, and then switched to Ana third point and did bad. Like on September 8th at 2:12 p.m. Like no one cares about that. That's too much information for other people to know. But I want to know it. Like I want to be able to improve on my gameplay.
Basically, what we're saying here is they just need to redesign career profiles
Yeah.
to make it easier for team mates when you're solo queuing or whatever to look at it and be like, okay, this guy plays Ryan. He's pretty good. So we'll see if he'll play Ryan. If not, there's four other characters that he's pretty good at. And then we'll go from there.
Also, please organize the profile picture page, whatever it's called, the player icon. Please
That
organize the
boy.
player icon page. There's no
Yeah.
organization.
It's so hard to find things.
But that should
Maybe
be
that'll
your
be State
last
of
resort.
Overwatch. That'll be State of Overwatch next month.
I can't play this game if they don't organize player icons. Anyway,
Anyway.
I think
Am
that's
I
it.
anything, any
You
parting
went out for a
words?
second. Am I back?
Yeah, you
Oh, were
are.
you out? I was like, I was gonna say.
Oh, good. Not notice. Okay, fine. Nothing
But
happened.
all right. but yeah. So I guess to wrap it up, we just want to be able to improve more, and it's hard to do that when we don't know how we're doing. And like
Exactly.
even apps like OverSumo and like OverBuff, they only tell us so much.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's like Pfizer, which it's gotten banned, or Pursuit, which got banned. It's like, how?
Yeah.
Blizzard, please.
And them banning that kind of made me believe that they were going to add something of their own,
That
which would have
as
been
well,
fine.
yeah.
But then banning and then also having this war on stats is
I do
interesting.
think they gotta be working on something, because when they banned Pursuit, I think Pursuit like came out and said, we've been talking to Blizzard and we're trying to come up with a compromise or something. And I was like, oh, either they're working on their own stats thing or they're working with Pursuit to have Pursuit be able to do something better with stats without making it unfair or whatever.
Yeah.
So hopefully there's something, but as of right now, we're a little
Nothing.
upset. Anyway,
Yes.
we'll call that a podcast. We're just under an hour. It went a little long, but there was a honestly, this was very conversation based, this one, and I like that a lot. So,
There's a lot to talk about
yeah.
even though we only had three stories, but
Yeah.
you never know.
We talked a lot about jerseys.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you everybody for watching. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Broverwatch. Be sure to visit www.TheBroverwatch. Did I say 3W? Go to TheBroverwatch.com.
www.thebroverwatch.com.
Go to the Google TheBroverwatch.com.
So close.
And follow me on Twitter and Instagram at I'm a dumb cook. And you guys.
Oh, Twitter at Amos underscore Calder.
And mine is at Jesus Christ, what was mine?
Yours is the
I think it's
hardest to
at,
try
oh
and
yeah, here we go.
tag.
Exactly. It's at Ryuku with double K, and I think it's three or four underscores. Just, you know what?
If you go to the
Don't even try.
broverwatch.com and go to the latest article, scroll to the bottom, his link will be
There it
there.
is.
There you go.
I think he's on the writer's page or something too.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think I'm over there as well, yeah.
So there you go. You can find him. And we also retweet him 8 times a day, so
Yeah.
there
Yeah,
we go.
there's a lot of good tweets. Follow all of us, and you should be able to find us all pretty easy, and we tweet a lot of stuff about the Overwatch League. So, thank you everybody for watching. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Watch some contenders. Watch some Overwatch League. Well, you can't really watch Overwatch League right now, but thank you for watching. Enjoy your time. Goodbye, everybody.
There you go. Bye-bye.